Welcome to the Ages of Rock podcast with your hosts, Bill Algy, Dennis Talbot, and Alan Tate. We are three guys who have one thing in common, a love of rock and roll. Our goal is to talk about all things rock. We hope you find this show intriguing, funny, and occasionally highly opinionated. Enjoy. You wanted the best, you got the best, the hottest episode on Ages of Rock podcast, number 386. Is that right? You know, 366. I can't read that far away because my trifocals are at the wrong angle. Tonight we're going to talk about, we all three went to saw Kiss in Indianapolis with Amber Wilde opening, which was a pretty wild show, but no pun there. 100% pun there. Terrible.
We saw them for the last time. Now that we've said it before,
I've said it
many times. Yeah, we'll talk about this later. But yeah. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, one of us says it and doesn't mean it, and the other one of us always says it and absolutely doesn't mean it at all. We don't even say it. Al, I didn't even go there. You just goes, oh, this is bullshit. I'm not going to this stuff again. Okay. See you. Get your ticket. Nah.
Okay. So this, like I said, this was my fifth. I'm not going to go to one of these end of the road tour shows. So anyway.
Yeah. A lying stack of shit.
I did. Yeah. I keep getting sucked in.
I wasn't sure how many shows that I had been to. So I sat down last night and counted them up, you know, from Crazy Nights right up until Saturday night. And it turns out I've been to 28 different shows.
Wow. Nice.
So I'd been to more than I had thought I'd been to, but still nowhere near as many as some of you.
So, and I asked Bill this the other night. I think I asked you this the other night, or maybe texting back. When we went to Ruoff and saw them outside, and when we the thing our shirts are, they, and the picture that we took that time, when I took that was Max's first show that he went to, was that the end of the road, was that part of the end of the road tour?
Yes
or not?
Yes,
it was.
Okay. I don't know. Yes, because the end of the road tour started before COVID.
That's what I'm saying. So yeah, that I thought I was, I kept thinking I got four of them, but I thought it was five.
But
and
see,
that Ruoff one.
See, for me, my intention was to only go to the Nashville show because it was on my 49th birthday.
Right.
And then a friend in Louisville said, hey, I got a ticket and it's yours. Come get it.
And that's when I started.
So I scooted my butt on to Louisville, you know, and then my friend Speedway Jeff from A to Z Radio said, hey, I bought a 4-pack of tickets. I got one for $25 if you want it. So I scooted my ass on up to Noblesville. You know, then I saw him on the Louder Than Life show, and I'd forgotten I even went to Louder Than Life until somebody was like, hey, you forgot one. Oh yeah. So
you didn't go to Nashville, did you?
Not the second time they went to Nashville, but
I mean the one
that... on my 49th birthday before COVID, that was at Bridgestone.
Right.
So that's Right. And I did not go to the Nashville show earlier this year.
Gotcha.
Cause I knew I was going to the indie show, and I had really good goddamn seats.
Right.
And I have a beef with Paul. We'll get to that too.
Yeah, you will.
I really don't have
I went to the indie show. I thought I went to the indie show at Cambridge, but I must not have. There was an indie show at Cambridge earlier, wasn't there?
No. Not. There was a Ruoff.
That was at Ruoff.
Was it a Ruoff? Okay, so I went there. Louisville. To Louisville.
I went to that one with you.
Indy. Jacksonville.
And then Louder Than Life, you went to that one.
No, you got to let me finish, dude.
Oh, okay.
Just give me a second.
Sorry.
And then, so we went to Indy, or Louisville, Indy, Jacksonville, and then went to the Louder Than Life Festival, and then yesterday. So I went to five.
See, I did five too. My only difference was not Jacksonville, but was Nashville.
Ah.
Bridgestone. I took Kelly to that one. So that was the one we went to. So yeah, for nobody was gonna do none. I did five.
Oh, I remember you said it every time.
I know.
It's ridiculous. I'm like going, it's the same thing, blah blah blah. Okay, we'll see you there.
For the most part, it was the same thing, but we did get one little surprise in there.
Yeah. All right, we'll get to that.
We'll get to that. Dennis, yeah. You got some shit to show off.
Yeah, right? I do want to show a few things off because we've been, like I said, every time we've had guests and whatever. No, it won't be that. No, okay. I will not do it. Real quick, I got...
Because we don't have our magnifying glasses.
Something that doesn't have to do anything with the show. I did finally get my Marvelous 3 Ready, Set, Go. This was they did a re-release of that. This album was never put on vinyl whatsoever the first time. It was just DVD or CD only. So this is a 2 LP set. It's expanded blue vinyl, pressings limited to 1500 copies. I got one. It has actually Real in the Year. It has the fourth side of the album is the credits, which is kind of funny. They do these funny radio commercial and then credits. They have another song. Then they do something, always something there to remind me, you know, that song. It's a Kai. They did a reboot of that. And they also did Real in the Years, Steely Dan. And that's on this album. So I got that. So now I've got, there's only one more one that they have.
I still never heard of them before. I have no idea who they are.
I love those guys. I seriously love
them. Well, I understand that. I just don't.
And kind of bookending into that, another person who likes Marvelous 3, and we talked about it here a couple weeks ago, I got my Great Affairs, and I actually ordered that online that night that we were doing it. I kind of had a really bad screen thing. Anyway, so they sent me the Sleepwalker album, and I appreciate Denny for doing that. He also sent me along a Great Affairs sticker.
Oh, that's cool.
Another Great Affairs sticker. And also a Great Affairs pick. And I sure appreciate that because, you know, anytime we can get some more swag, I'm all in. Also, from a former person that we had on our show, I went on and got from Pete Evick.
Oh, yeah.
I just received this yesterday. And it's a really, I went to Amazon and got it. Nice hardcover edition of that book because he sent us the digital copy of it and I got through about, I don't know, probably I did all the early stuff just before the thing, you know, I told him that day, I said I hadn't read the whole thing, but I did get through the half part and it's actually a really good read. And he's, you know, we're all that kind of same age and his upbringing through music was kind of the same thing I kind of went through, except for he got successful and I didn't. But anyway, I did thought it was a good book. So I went ahead on to Amazon and did pick this up. And it just now, it was not a pre-release, but you prepaid it. And anyway, it just is starting to come out this week. So they're just, I just noticed on Facebook, he was promoting it again to sell it. So if you get a chance to get this MTV Famous by Pete Evick and Steve Oliva, please get this because it is a good book. The other thing I do, I got another book through the mail. And hopefully here in the next few weeks, or maybe by the first year, we're going to have Martin Popoff on. But I just got this in the mail the other day, and it's magical.
tell the people who don't have YouTube what book you're talking about.
Yes, this is The Kiss at 50. So, and it's basically he goes through 1 through 50, and there's like a little something about, you know, them at, you know, 15 is a world without heroes, Kiss and their collectibles and their cart, books and stuff. There's a lot of photos in here that you've seen before, but there's also a lot of photos that I've never seen. So I thought it was kind of neat, you know, here where they're talking about Ace, and then they put in actually a fairly recent picture of him, you know, playing in a solo tour. I will be sharing this book with Bill and Alan. So, and then we're going to have hopefully Martin on here at the first of the year to talk about it because it is a very nice book. And I love the, on the back, those fisheye lens pictures of them during their reunion tour. I think those are really cool. I think those are always, every time you see one of those are really neat. But other than that, that's all I've got. New stuff. Bill, I think you got something, don't you? Oh, you're muted. We'd like to hear about it.
Well, I got a little cough thing going on, so
okay.
I think that's the problem. Since we're doing books, so this has now become a book review place. So there you go. I have bought Desmond Child's Living on Our Prayer, Big Songs, Big Life. Bought this a while ago. I did spring and get the spring the money and got the Desmond Child autographed version.
Nice.
This was autographed, and it's got an it's got a little certificate of authenticity in it, which I thought was pretty cool.
Pronounced that way exactly, right?
Exactly.
Okay,
just phonetically is what I was trying to do, or phonetically, one of the two. Anyway, it is a good book. In my understanding, which is really cool about this, is Desmond Child is going to be in Nashville, maybe tomorrow.
Is that for the
rare hair
songs of Desmond Child? Rare hair,
yeah, he's supposed to be there because he does have a house there, according to his book and other people.
For the record, the people who are listening to this, this comes out on Thursday, so tomorrow was actually 2 days ago.
Oh yeah, so you missed the show. Sorry about that. But it's called it is a really good book. It's a lot about it. I thought it would be a lot more about the music and him writing and stuff like that, and there is some of that in here, but a lot of it is about his childhood and stuff like that, so I think he left some room for part two. But he talks about writing and his experience actually of writing with Barbra Streisand, and wow. Just like the epitome of his career was being able to write with her, which is pretty amazing because I think she doesn't allow many people in that circle.
It's an inner circle. It is a tight circle.
It is interesting.
You know, though, going to what you're saying too, I find I like when these people that you know and you know what they've done in their later times and current times, I like to hear about their childhood. You know, I find that kind of interesting, and you see how they've grown and how music has influenced them, and how, you know, if they had any kind of a musical interest in their families, or if they didn't, you know, that how they got to that point. I find that kind of interesting.
Yeah, I can tell you he had a very a lot of musical influence from his family, and right. A lot of jacked up stuff, like dude, like some really jacked up shit. I'm not kidding.
Sorry.
I was like reading that going, oh my God. I mean, it's like one thing fell apart right after another. It was crazy.
How did you find the inner pain for that song? Oh, dude, just read my book.
It's not hard to find. I've lived every damn one of these.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I'll have to check that out too. I'll have to check that one out. I'm not much of a reader, but I do like the biographies of the rock people. I think I find those very interesting.
Pretty cool.
Speaking of biographies of rock people, I just finished listening to the audiobook Horseshoes and Hand Grenades by John Corabi.
Oh, really? Cool. How was that?
It was very good. The one thing that, and this is just me being pedantic, the one thing that I didn't like about it is you can only get it on audible.com. It's not available on CD, you know. Oh. So you get it on audible.com or you buy the book. And, you know, I listen to books when I'm driving around and doing my running and errands and such and my commute back and forth to work. So,
right. But
I mean, other than that, it was a great read. And John reads his own book and he has some pretty entertaining stories.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
I like when
he doesn't dish any, you know, real dirt on Motley Crue or anything like that that we didn't already know, but it is pretty interesting to hear him tell his own life story. I always like when authors read their own books.
Yeah, I think that's cool too. Neat.
Yep.
Awesome.
That's super cool.
So let's talk about Saturday night.
I was going to say, so speaking of super cool.
Before we even get to the Kiss, can I make a comment about Indianapolis? I thought it was kind of interesting.
Yeah, sure.
So we went, Kelly, she went to Nashville. She's like, you know what? I really don't care if I go or not. She was kind of on the fence. And the thing was that she's like, well, if we want to go, I want to like stay the night and all that stuff. And I'm like, you know, I just want to go up, hit, you know, they're an hour ahead. I can be back by, we were home at 2 o'clock. So it was not that big a deal. So
you
she said,
I don't, before I did.
I know. So anyway, we ended up, and like I said, I hated seeing that you guys took pictures and stuff after the concert stuff. Yeah. Mike and I were actually on the road out of Indianapolis and like almost, you know, past, you know, where that factory, you know, where the big stacks are on the south side, 15 minutes after the show was over. We were parked a block away, got out, got through there, and this was out. And I told Mike, I said, this is just amazing. He said, too, I can't believe we got it that fast. We stopped for coffee once we got out of Indianapolis through the bad parts down, right before we get to Martinsville. Stopped, got some coffee, and then we hit the road. And like I said, I was home at 2 o'clock. But we got to Indianapolis, got out, and so I took Michael, a friend of mine who I work with, him and I went to Van Halen in Indianapolis years ago when the David Lee Roth got back together with him, and then right before Eddie went to rehab. And anyway, so I had this extra ticket, and I was like, you know what? I said, so I went to work the next day, and I said, Michael, I said, Kelly doesn't want to go. Would you like to go see Kiss? He goes, I would love to see Kiss. And I said, then I've got a ticket for you. So he paid for the ticket. And so anyway, we went out there. So we get up here real quick. We get there by about 5 o'clock. It was right around a little bit 4 or 5 Indy time. Show was at 7:30. We parked a block off the venue. So we got out there. Well, the first thing we saw was Hooters. I said, I know we got Hooters at Evansville. We just want some food and let's just eat real quick. So we went in there. They had an hour wait in Hooters. They're in City Circle. And I'm like going, fuck, I don't want to wait an hour. So Mike goes, I got to piss. So he goes back to the back to take a piss. So I go back or two. I got to take a leak too, because we've been on the road. Half of Hooters, Bill, you're muted. Half of Hooters is empty. There's no, I mean, they got tables there. They just didn't have the staff to run the thing. And I'm like going, how in the hell are they staying open down there? Because you're not bringing the money. So we ended up going to, Kilroy's. Is it Kilroy's?
Just okay. Kilroy's. Yeah.
Which was, I'm telling you right now, fantastic food. Got in there, got a table within 10 minutes. They were packed. Waitress was, you know, a little slow getting around, but she was busy. But no, I was very happy with the food, everything else. So if you go into Indy and you're going to be at the old field house, go to Kilroy's. It's pretty good. But yeah, it was. And the thing was, then we come out of there and we go to, because it was past, they opened the doors at what, 6:30? We got out there, and as we come out, we look and they're lined up. I mean, God, it looked like a mile.
As far as you can see.
Each way. So there's a seafood restaurant right across the street from the field house. So we went in there for a minute, and it's like going, well, she goes, I said, can we just stand at the bar? Okay, that's fine. And then I wasn't getting a drink. Well, all of a sudden they started opening the doors, and then people were going in. But I had talked to the policeman before and said, sometimes they open up the side doors and they'll take people in there too. Well, they didn't open those up. So we got out there, and I'm like going, I looked at Mike. I said, do you really want to walk all the way down to one of these sides? And I said, there were people crossing the streets. We just walked right across the street from that restaurant. Boom. We were right there at the door. Boom. We got right in. You know, I'm sure we probably pissed somebody off, but that's the way to do it. I'm old. I need a handicap sticker, you know. But anyway, so that was my getting to the concert, and then we'll go from there. You guys,
that's interesting.
How did you get to the concert, Alan?
I had a chauffeur. His name was Ian.
There you go. You guys all stayed. You didn't stay though, did that night, Bill? You went home, didn't you?
Yeah, Lisa drove me home.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I was asleep, I think, by the time we got to. Yeah, it was pretty quick.
There you go.
But Indy is really pretty cool. I mean, if anybody that ever goes up there, it is downtown. It's not hard to get around down there, and you can park. There's a lot of different places to park that, you know, from a pricing perspective, or $20, you know, it's for parking, which is about average, so it's not bad at all.
It was 20 everywhere I saw.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was, actually a, was somebody was telling me that it at Gamebridge it was $10 at one point, then it went to 30, then it came back to 20. So I don't know. I don't know what was going on. But they said
what
it was
time is it?
I guess I don't know.
Kind of like Uber and their surge or surge pricing, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure.
There was a place over near the because they were the high school was having their playoffs. And football. I did see a place over for $10. But you know, we would have had to walk, you know, fucking half mile. I mean, we were just we walked out of my where we got out of the truck and walked into the alley and boom, we were right in front of the place. I'm like, this can't be any better. So we were I was happy.
Yep. Not bad.
But you had an experience before the concert though, didn't you, Bill?
I did. I did. And it didn't involve my wife. She told me just to go by myself and take care of it. So I did. So I went to
usual. That's a kind of a usual thing, right?
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, so I got to do the sound check experience, which I thought was just, you know, it was cool. It was very, very cool. I'm glad I did it. I'm glad I did it at the last show though. Because otherwise it cost me an extra money for the extras for every show I went to after the first time I went, because it was really cool.
Good.
But we had to be there at I think we had to check in at like 3 o'clock, between 3 and 4 o'clock you checked in and then you went and waited in line. But the important thing is you had to be in line early because you were closer to the gate, which you closer to the entrance into the stadium. I mean, into the stadium, actual seating area, which gets you closer to where the seats are for the sound check. So VIP people were around the other side and we were on one side, they were on the other side of the arena. So they were already in there whenever we got released to go. So they let them go and they were in the first two or three rows. I think I was in row 4 or 5, I think it was. So
still.
Yeah, great, 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 great seats. And had some friends that sat down with us, so which I thought was nice. Somebody that hadn't been to a show for a long, long time and decided to go, and they decided to do the sound check as well. They did 5 songs in the sound check, maybe 6. I can't remember exactly the number. Nothing super spectacular. I did write it down. They did a Plaster Caster, I know. Right. Hotter Than Hell, Shock Me, Christine, 60. which is what Paul said, because otherwise it's really creepy.
It is creepy.
It's still creepy anyway. It doesn't matter. And then they did one. They did another one, but I forgot to write it down because I was just all
got like, to choose.
Got to shoot. Yeah, yeah. So I didn't.
That was in your own clip, dude.
Oh, was it in the clip?
Yes. I like that. I like that song. I like that song a lot.
But I was just, I tell you, I was just tickled pink to be there. And then they did a Q&A thing and some people asked some questions. One person asked like what their favorite tour was. And Paul gave the Paul answer, which was every tour is our favorite tour, you know, that kind of stuff. You just want to throw up a little bit. But Gene said, you know, to be honest with you, the first tour was my favorite tour because that was our way to determine if we could make it or not. Mm-hmm. And it was 4 guys that were all after the exact same thing at the exact same time. And it was really a very good answer. Good. And like I said, Paul's was the typical kind of generic thing. And then they talked about Bill Starkey because Bill Starkey was there. If you're listening to this, you don't know that Bill Starkey started the Kiss Army in Terre Haute, Indiana, which is not far from here. Paul had a little bit of a memory lapse of his name till somebody hollered out Bill Starkey. And he goes, oh yeah, that's it.
Really?
Like, yep, it is. And he was sitting right there. So,
I'm surprised that they didn't bring him because, you know, they did mention it in the show. I'm surprised they didn't bring him out for just a minute. I know he had like a little plaque or something that they gave him, a little certificate or some kind of bullshit. I saw a picture of him with the.
Yeah, I don't know if it was bullshit or not, but.
No, but I'm saying I'm surprised they didn't bring him out on stage because of this final 5 shows. Bring Bill out on stage for a second for a bow or something, you know.
Well, for the record, I talked to Bill and Bill said he's glad he didn't bring him up on stage.
Oh, because he would have given shit.
No, because he didn't want to go up on stage.
Oh, I got you. I did see the picture with him. So,
no, and no person of the right mind is going to stand in front of that many people and give anybody shit. Because if they did, they'd throw his ass out of the building. So
that's true. That's true.
Yeah, that's not going to ever happen. Then when that ended, we all had to leave. So I went and left and went over and met Dennis and that guy's name. Michael. I can't remember. Michael. There you go.
Yeah.
Michael. I had a quick dinner and then ran back to Alex's apartment, and that was it. Oh, but I did get a little tour after the sound check, back in the to where the VIP area was, but which was kind of cool. Didn't get to hang out or anything, but did get to at least walk back and see where the area was. They were working on stuff, but right. Did walk right past Eric, which was kind of neat, but cool. He was like busy chatting with somebody, but that part was kind of cool. Being able to just see things from a little bit different level was kind of interesting. So
cool.
And then we just, you know, had to wait and, you know, felt like it was forever, but it wasn't that long.
It was forever.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. Yeah. Something like that. But at the sound check though, when I first got there, I got Alex ended up with a Gene Simmons pick at some point for some reason. So I have a Gene Simmons pick.
Well, how cool.
You can see that.
I didn't get any picks.
And then at the sound check, Paul, they were throwing, I mean, those dudes can throw, get picks. I don't know if you ever have really paid attention, but they can hurl those babies.
Paul can hurl a pick.
Paul is really good, like I said, about hurling picks. So he was hurling picks, trying to get one to this kid. It went under this lady's shoe. I was diving down for it. She's like, that's mine. It's under my shoe. So I picked it up and gave it to her because I was like, whatever. And then he threw two other ones right in front of me. And I literally dove on the ground. And then I got one. So this is actually mine. I actually got it from Paul when he threw it in the ground, when he threw it out there. So I'm very happy about that. And then we also have a third pick too amongst the family. So from Tommy. So we got all three. Cool. I tried to get Eric's attention because Eric was trying to give the drumsticks to a little kid. He was trying to do. And there was a little kid, that little kid there, and he'd already gotten three picks from everybody. I'm like, that would be cool. We get the, you know, the foursome, you know, to get all of them. But like, we couldn't get his attention to getting the drumstick, but that'd been really cool. But, after that was over, then we all got shoot out. Like I said, went and had dinner, came back and waited for the show.
Yep.
So that's how that part went.
There you go.
It was well worth
it. Alan, what'd you do beforehand? Did you go eat and do anything? Or I know you had Ian with you.
Me and Ian and Jeff Humphrey and his daughter, Fiona, and Bill Elam and his daughter, Britt. We all went to some restaurant. I don't even know the name of it.
Okay.
And we just kind of ate a leisurely meal. And I introduced Ian to everyone because the only one he really knew was Jeff Humphrey, because Jeff's been down here before.
Did your wife go up too?
No. Well, she went up and she stayed at Ian's house by herself because she didn't want to go to the concert. And then it's funny because after we sent her pictures and everything, she's like, yeah, I kind of wish I'd have went now. I'm like, snooze, snooze.
I was worried that Kelly was going to do that too, because I was like, going, are you sure you're okay? And I've seen him. I don't need to see him. I'm like going, you know, I know if post these pictures, she's going to be like, oh, I wish I would have went. But yeah. she never did. So that's cool.
That's all
good. I was very happy because I had everybody.
Your whole crew was there.
Yeah, whole crew was there. I had
all three of the kids and Lisa and friends. And it was a magical
night.
That's
good, though. Well, that's good. It's what you needed to do, because, I mean, you couldn't get tickets for Madison Square Garden. So, you know, the best way to do it, to end it, is be with all your kids and your wife and friends and all that stuff. Except for, he left me sitting.
Well, we got an upgrade. We upgraded our tickets. So actually, we took the upgrade.
I don't know if that was an upgrade, though. I liked we were at.
Well, I can tell you, I liked where I liked where I ended up being a hell of a lot more than that.
That was a good, because I was talking to Mike after
you
left.
Bad, though.
We moved down a little bit. We actually, Mike and I had like a seat between us, which was really nice because we were pretty stuffed in there, you know, because we're big guys anyway. And it was a little bit tight. So we got a little bit more room there. But I told Michael at that time, I said, I don't know if Bill really got an upgrade, because I said, I had never sit in that position before. You know, I've been, I've been on a nosebleed on Gene's side. In Nashville, we were actually on the about where I want to be, kind of that soundboard, but kind of on the little bit to the side, back looking at the stage. So we had a really good view that night of the whole thing. I've never sat on that side of the stage on a Kiss show. And I thought at first, you know, looking at the stage on the map, that we were going to be too far on the side, but we really weren't. We were kind of out there. And actually, whenever the picker came around, you know, Tommy was right there. You know, I could have fucking thrown something and whacked him right in the head, you know, and I'm sure Ace would have liked that, but anyway, but no, it was a different view. I'm sure like the God of Thunder wasn't as good because I was telling Michael about it and you could see the different pods, but you know, when you're sitting down where you were at, that's where you get that whole thing.
Yeah. That's the best spot for those pods for sure.
It is. And you had a really good view because Alan, where you were at, cause it was perfect. Cause you were dead on, you know,
I was dead on the Love Gun stage.
That's true.
I mean, I was literally, here's me, there's the microphone straight ahead, you know, and he's got two microphones on the side and one microphone pointing towards the back of the arena. And Paul, fuck you for not singing directly to me. He never got once on that microphone one time.
Really?
Not once. He was like, well, maybe the microphone doesn't work. And I'm like, Paul wouldn't know that until he got up there and started to talk into it and didn't hear himself.
You know, there's one thing about Paul Stanley, and it happened again this concert, and it's so weird. Years ago, Rodney and I went to see them during the Asylum tour in Robert Stadium. We're up in the behind the soundboard, but up back straight on the thing. And there was one point he was like going, hey, guys, whatever. And Rod looked at me, he goes, he's pointing at us. You know, it's one of those things. And there was a thing when we were there the other night. He turned up, and one time he came up to Tommy's side of the stage, and Paul has this way of looking up there, and you think he's looking at you. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if anybody else has had that kind of feeling before, but it's almost like a personal thing. And it's not, because he's just pointing in that general direction, but he has a way of doing it. I don't know what it is about it. Maybe I'm just really into Kiss, but I always think he's pointing at me.
You think it's personal?
I do. I take it personal.
No, it's
I've invested a lot of fucking money into this band.
Yep.
It is personal. Trust me.
So from the floor, two rows in front of the soundboard.
Right.
Unfortunately, right in front of the stage, Paul spent all of his time.
Exactly.
Sorry, man. Okay. That was it. I couldn't have asked for anything better, to be honest with you.
No, I'm glad you got to go down there.
So it worked out awesome.
And it saved a lot of room on me too, because I had a lot of space.
So that was the plan to help you out.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. But yeah, it was amazing to be down there. I never dreamt that would happen. So just got lucky.
It was nice because you had that walk space in front of you too, so you didn't have anybody sitting right in front of you. Mm-mm. So that was nice.
Now Lisa, who's a little height challenged, you know, she's not the tallest girl in the room. She had a couple times where she was struggling to see. She had to kind of move around and, you know, to get between people and stuff like that. But when Paul flew out there, he was right behind us, and it was the pictures we have are amazing. Like,
could have pooped on you. He's like a bird.
We were a little more toward the center, but yeah, wouldn't have been, could he probably could have had he wanted to do that. Well, yeah, whatever. But I posted pictures and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I've been thinking about it since the show, and trying to figure out where do I put that stage show in the list of all the, I'm looking, just looking over that, off that way. Of all the shows I've seen, where does that stage show fit into the list? It's pretty damn high up there. I thought the show part, you know, the production and the flames and the lighting was just awesome. They did a great job with that.
Alan, What do you think? I actually, this is a, that was the only Kiss concert that I actually got kind of spooked a couple times because I wasn't ready for the flash. Because I know when he was doing the Love Gun and I was looking at Paul at the Love Gun stage, they set off shit there at the stage. And like I said, I could feel the flames. I don't know if you could feel them out there, Bill. But
oh, yeah.
Where we were sitting, we felt, me and Mike are like going, God damn, it's hot up here. Because the flames went off. They were big time. But there was a couple times that the flash pods went off and I wasn't ready for them and it scared the shit out of me. And I don't think it's ever happened at a Kiss concert. You know, because I've been able to see when it's going to happen or kind of feel when it's going to happen. And, but they had, you know, from the last time we've seen them, this last 50 shows, I guess, they've changed. That whole stage was different from what it was before. And they did, like you said, from the photographer that you was talking with the other day, they've upped the flames, they upped the flash pods, they've upped everything on that show. The Paul stage, those lights, made them look like a prison cell. Did you notice that?
Yeah, that was new. Yeah, it was
that new. Was new. I had never seen that before. There was something else that I saw I thought that was kind of odd that I never had hadn't seen before in their presentation, but it was but anyway, I thought it was really good.
What was your thoughts, Alan?
Making Love was the highlight for me because I don't think I've ever seen him perform that song live in makeup.
I was extremely happy to hear that. And taking out Let Me Go Rock and Roll was fine with me because Tommy always fucks that song up for me because he gets lost in the lead at some point. And I've listened to it live on YouTube a few times from that it was a Louisville show that the first time I noticed it. And it just bugs the dog shit out of me. Tommy has changed the leads in a lot of those songs. I mean, I personally love Eric being in the band. I think Eric is a great drummer. He's better than, you know, he's a fantastic piano player. I'll leave it at that. But
okay.
But Tommy has changed some of the leads of the classic songs, and he plays them every time the same way. And it's just like, you know, I don't know if he's trying to make it his own or what he's trying to do, but it bugs me. And Let Me Go Rock and Roll, there was a situation in that song during that lead that it's almost like he skips like a half of a measure and it throws everything off for me. And I just hate that. So putting Making Love in there, I was like Alan, I was thrilled to death. And I love the graphics that they put up, you know, on the video screen behind, you know, I thought that was really cool. It's like, at least give it, you know, they gave us something new, you know, so I did like that. I thought that was really good. You know,
I just thought the production was really good.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, the lighting and all that stuff was pretty cool.
I'm really glad that it's toward the end, though, because, I mean, Paul struggled on some songs. He sang a lot. You know, the thing was, I don't think they did have some, I mean, there was backing. Don't get me wrong. There was backing vocals going on during that concert. But they let a lot of his regular voice come through. And there were some times where it wasn't perfect. Gene, of course, is just on spot. I mean, I know that God of Thunder, I think that's all pre-recorded too, because there's so much sync on with those videos that he has to be. I don't think it's not the same.
It's not that it's pre-recorded. It's they're doing it to a click track. So right. The videos do sync up. Because sure. If you watch the different videos in the pods,
right.
There's more than one take of that.
Right, mm-hmm. Exactly. And those ones on the pods were different than the ones that I saw 2 years ago. You know what I'm saying? When we saw them in Nashville and stuff like that. They've updated those videos too. They're a little bit different. Because I remember them being a little bit different.
I thought they were the same.
But Gene, I mean, Gene was playing really good. I mean, Eric was playing really good. I think that it's just the shtick. I mean, I think, you know, Gene, you know, I watched Gene a lot, especially when he came over to our side for a little bit, and I'm watching, and it's like he just kind of goes through the same shtick, you know. there's nothing wrong with that. It's just I'm just glad it's the end. I mean, I mean, go out. I mean, they did a really good job. I was really happy with the concert. But I'm glad it's the end, you know, and God let it be the end, because don't go back out. Just, I mean, it needs to
stop. So what I think I hear you saying, Dennis, is if they go out again, you're not going.
I am not going. I will not pay to go. But you know what? I will go see. I'll go see Amber Wilde. Did you not enjoy that?
No.
See, now I have a complete different outlook on that. I mean, I know he's Paul's son, but I like the fact that he's not trying to be Paul. His voice is completely different than Paul. He plays the guitar 3 times better than his dad does. He's a really good guitar player. I thought that their band I didn't know one song of that band, and they played five songs, maybe six total,
somewhere.
I enjoyed every one of the songs. There wasn't one that bored me out. You know, every one of them was better than Say Yeah. I'll tell that right now. See, you can't disagree with that. But there was a couple songs. The only thing that I thought was a little bit kind of funky was the fact of toward the end of that one song, I think it was Silver, or I can't remember which one it was. But, you know, he kind of fell to his knees, kind of like Ace did in front of his other guitar player. And I'm like, oh, don't do that. You know,
I kind of felt the same way.
Did you? So I wasn't the only one.
I was like, this is not Black Diamond. Stop that.
Exactly. And the thing is, I mean, I know you borrowed your dad's jacket from his blues
Live the Wind tour.
No, that's the thing he wears, is that Soul Station bullshit.
He wore that on the Live to Win tour.
Oh, did he win? Oh, that's what it was. Okay.
Or one similar to it. I doubt it's the same shirt.
But no, I thought that his band was, I mean, I tell you what, though. I guess that's where you got to be Paul Stanley's son to get the great sound. You get the lights and you get the cameras going for a beginning band. And I tell you what, it was better than watching a painter paint for what, 4 times?
Something like
that. I'll take Amber Band any day from a painter, because the painter was horrible. But no, I was actually very, very impressed. I kind of figured it was not going to be that good because I didn't know any of his music. And I really like his songs. I think it's really good, and good guitar player. So, and he's not trying to be his dad. And that's one thing else I like about it. So
I wish just one time he would have done the people or something like that.
People. I said the same thing.
I just wanted to see it once.
But I did like the fact, you know, he wanted to meet people, and he wanted to meet. And there was a bunch of people that I know that went up there and got their picture taken with these guys, you know, and stuff. I mean, they're really out there, you know, trying to make a name for themselves. So, you know, go for it, you know. And but no, I did appreciate that part of it. But no, all in all, I was very happy. Glad I went. I think they did a good show. I was really worried about being that, you know, he'd been sick. You know, I listened back to some of the things I record. I recorded the first. You wanted the best, you got the best. And when they came down, I stopped. I put my phone away, and I did not pull my phone out again until the very last, when the cranes were coming back down and they were doing the last explosion. That was one concert and I made a point not to watch the video screens. I watched the people on the stage, which is so hard to do because I find myself watching those video screens. I was like, and I really tried to make this an old school. For the last time I seen them, I want to see them on stage moving around. And it was kind of interesting. I like doing that. It was, you know, and you know what? Put your phones away. It was a good way to do it. So anyway, that's my take.
Yeah, I think I took like 6 pictures, maybe 7. That's about it.
I took 2 pictures of him when he spit blood of the video screen right next to him, because I was gonna send to a friend of mine that she was like, I knew she was on. Yeah, that's gross, you know. But other than that, I didn't take any. I took 2 videos and that was it.
Yeah, well, Alan was on the big screen. You made the big screen, didn't you?
I did. And it was me and Ian both taking pictures of Paul during I Was Made for Loving You. Yeah. Honestly, Ian took more pictures than I did. The only pictures that I took were while Paul was on stage during I Was Made for Loving You. I did do video of Paul. As soon as God of Thunder was over, I put my camera on. Since we were right there, I wanted to get a good video of Love Gun.
Sure.
So I took video of that, of him doing his little, y'all got to invite me out, and then him flying out. And I got a good video of that whole song. And then as soon as that was over, took a couple of pictures during I Was Made for Loving You, and then put my phone away.
Paul's like a vampire. You have to invite him to be there. He can't come to the stage until you invite him.
Well, do you remember early on when he did the thing where he cut the, you know, the having everybody scream in there? I'm telling you, down on the floor, that was loud as hell.
I don't know what was wrong with my side, but that other side was a lot louder. I could tell the whole time.
Those guys on the stage left.
They were just knocking it out of the park. And I'm like, going, I'm not even going to try to yell because I can't. Yeah, my voice ain't going to make any difference.
It was impressive. That's for sure.
No, it was a good night. And like I said, I'm glad I went. And like I said, it was a good show. Ended with a bang. But
literally.
A lot of bangs. It was a bang.
Well, overall, I'm glad I went. I'm glad that Ian decided he wanted to go with me. And, you know, he was turned around to me like three or four times. Oh, Dad, I just got chills when they did that. You know, he did that two or three times. So that was pretty cool.
Right.
And then I know a lot of people don't like the Psycho Circus 100,000 Years mix up. Right. But Ian's favorite song is Psycho Circus. So I was thrilled that they played that.
You know? Right.
Yep. Cool. Well,
I think we all got our favorite song played, maybe, except Dennis.
Yeah, I'm not sure what Dennis's favorite song is, actually.
Actually, I like Parasite. So, no, Parasite was not played. Yeah. And the thing is, Eric can tear that song up. Eric is a fucking, he's a monster on that. That one video, we talked about it before, where they got
Rock the Nation.
Yeah. I just like watching him. I mean, he just, and I was talking to Mike too. I said, you notice his drum set? I said, he's one of those people that play their drums on a level set. You know, there's very few, you don't see a lot of drummers do that. I mean, he has a different style than anybody, but it was a well done night. And did you guys get teary at any point?
Nope.
I didn't either. I was kind of worried that I would maybe get a little bit clamped at some point. And I really didn't. I was kind of like, you know what? It's time. I'm good. Thank you.
Pretty much.
Now put out the old stuff. I want you to start now digging through the vault and put out some old shit that I want to hear, you know, the good stuff.
Yeah, I didn't really get, I thought I would. I did at the show in Jacksonville with my dad, because my dad took me the first time, and my brother and my sister were there, right, and my brothers were there. But this time I didn't. I had a personal connection though.
I can understand that.
Yeah, but even this time, I mean, being with the show ended and we were all five together.
Right.
I mean, all five of us were together watching the show at the same time, which was really cool. But I never really got the next day, sitting around thinking about it and kind of looking through the pictures and stuff like that. I got a little bit then, not teary eyed, but a little, I was like, wow, that's, you know. But because of the amazing part of it, of everybody being there together, and that, you know, one last time that it won't be.
Well, I won't admit this to Kelly, but I'm sure she'll hear this. But, you know, when I got home the next day, she doesn't listen to our show. She doesn't give a shit. But when I did play back, because I got that last, you know, last 4 minutes of the show, I got to blow my nose real quick, you know, kind of, you know, it kind of chokes you up a little bit, but it is what it is, you know.
Well, it's a band that's been around for 50 years. They're not a band that, and we've all liked them for,
I've been a fan since decades, not
5 minutes, you know, and it's kind of funny because we laugh about, you know, we laugh, you know, sometimes about these people that are, you know, Rolling Stones people and right. Grateful mm-hmm. Dead people that followed them around forever. Mm-hmm. And,
right.
You know, all of that kind of stuff. And you're like, oh, we're just our own groupies. I mean, the really funny thing
is I saw a thing today on somebody, and I don't remember, I would give them credit, but I don't remember whose page it was on. But they, somebody wrote a little thing saying, you know what? You know, we complain about the band, and we say this and we say that, and we get, you know, talk about Gene or talk about Paul. But the thing is, you know, we have the right to do that because we have been fans for, you know, 45 years. Well, I'm 75 for me. You know, we've been around for that long. It's just like family. You know, you bitch about your family and people and this and that. The thing is, I don't hate Kiss, but there's things that piss me off. And, you know, I've earned the right and paid enough money and invested in this motherfucker enough that I can complain about some shit. So don't, you know, if the thing is, I don't hate him. It's just, I got the right to bitch and moan about some shit because I've been there. You know, I didn't start, you know, liking them when they were, you know, lick it up or past that. You know, there's people that, you know, didn't even start being
sorry,
fans.
Alan.
Oh, I'm sorry, Alan. You know, that's what gets me too is, you know, and I think it's really funny is like people like Julian. Julian didn't get into him to what, Dynasty?
No, it was Asylum.
Yeah. So, you know what I'm saying? And he writes books about him. You know, he knows everything about Kiss. And I'm like going, he wasn't even in there at that point. And it doesn't make him any less of a person. It's just funny how that is. I mean, when people pick it up, but it would be great to be able to find a band that it's like, man, this band's really cool. Oh my God, they got a history of like 15 years prior, and it's like, and they did that. Well, that would be. I wish I could find that band. And you know the thing is,
I don't know if those kind of bands will ever exist again.
And watching that last video of that last few minutes. You will never see anything like that again. You know what I'm saying?
No, I don't know.
Nickelback's not going to do that. I'm sorry. I'm not down in Nickelback. You know, Weezer's not going to end a show like that. You know, you're not going to see that. Taylor Swift may. I mean, she might do an atom bomb or something because she's got the money. She can afford plutonium, but anyway. But, you know, I mean,
I think it's some confetti. Did you guys get any confetti?
No, and you know what? What was funny was too, and I don't know if you noticed this, when the balloons came down, there's an air current in that building that sends everything toward the stage.
Yep.
Everybody, even Gene, was kicking shit back out, and nobody would touch it, and it would go, it would come back to the stage, and I'm like, oh shit, this is not good. Because when he came out with his fire, he was going this way, and he had to shoot it back toward the back part of the stage because the air current was like blowing the flame that way. So he's like going, "I'm going to have to go that way." But anyway, yeah, balloons didn't get very far. We didn't even get close to a balloon.
So. Well, because people grabbed the balloons and took them as soon as they landed on.
Oh, of course they did.
That's what I told Ian. I said, if one of them gets near me, I'm taking that motherfucker with me.
Guy in front of me.
Right, I don't kill anybody. It pops one of them. I don't kill them.
Anyway, it came to him. There was that space between us. It came to him,
right,
like right in his hands, and it went right down in front of him.
Do you guys remember? Did they do the streamers the last time too?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
See, I made that comment to Kelly. Is she's like, well, they did streamers in Nashville. And I go, I don't remember the streamers.
Yeah.
So anyway.
It was the same kind of thing.
Yeah. But anyway.
Well, to wrap this up, you know, all in all, I'm glad I went. Yeah,
me too.
The stage show was great. Everyone seemed to be on top of their game. Yeah, and I'm sure that when they did Making Love, Eric was like, all right, something new, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
What was he talking? Eric song. Was complaining during Beth. Was he,
his ear monitor.
He couldn't hear his monitor. Okay. I figured he was like, couldn't hear himself, but he did a good job though. He even, you know, he come out smelling pretty good. So
yeah.
But anyway, I think all in all, it was, I like with the fact that didn't Gene stick a fucking, he took a the drumstick and stuck it in Eric's butt. Did you see that part? Did you guys not miss? Did you miss that?
That.
He walked up and Eric.
Oh, whenever they were, whenever after Beth,
they were after when they were doing their first on. Well, after they were doing, we were throwing stuff out at first, you know, before they did their encore. He had a stick in his thing, and he went up and stuck it right in Eric's butt, and Eric went, "Woo!" I was like, "That's pretty funny."
They seem to horse around a lot. That's
they
for
do.
Sure.
And it's, you know what? And I like that. That means that
I like the after party. I thought the after party was pretty good. I had a good time at the after party.
Mm-hmm. After party.
Too bad you couldn't make it.
Mm-hmm. What after party?
Yeah, we went out.
You were out of town.
I told you we were going to go out. You ran home. I got to be home by 2 because I'm going to
go. Where'd you guys go? Where'd you guys go?
Irish pub.
I bet it was fun.
It was.
It was fun.
Yeah, we'll talk about it later. Yeah, like I said, I was on the road. Hell, I was out of Indy so fast it wouldn't make your head spin. But
well, Kiss hung around because they were at the Colts game. I mean,
I saw. Yeah. No, it was Tommy and Eric. Well, they said
Tommy and Eric were at the Colts game. Ace, yeah.
The meme I saw said Ace and Peter went to the.
Yeah.
Those jokes are as old and stupid as the jokes about Gene always wanting to charge you for everything.
But did you guys see the day, though, that Bruce now has come out and said that he was not even asked to come to the last show?
I don't think that's what he said.
No, that's what he said. He was not asked. They asked. He said, I'm not going to be.
He said, I won't be there.
He just said, I won't be there. He didn't
say
that.
No, and then underneath that, the next text says, he goes, I wasn't asked. So that was from the same people that I posted the first one.
100%,
so I don't know if it's true.
I am 100% not surprised.
I ain't either because they're gonna deviate from the norm.
Yeah,
that show is gonna be the same show we saw down to everything.
Well, I hope with it being a pay per view, they do something different.
I do too. I hope they don't do the same thing. I mean, I hope they do something different.
Yeah.
So real quick on the pay per view, have you guys looked into that at all?
Nope.
Because it's November 2nd. I'm going to be in Nashville.
December 2nd.
Or December 2nd, sorry. December 2nd. It's my anniversary. I'm going to be in Nashville. I'm wondering if you do buy it, is it one of those you get like to watch it for 7 days?
No idea. Get on the Google, Dennis.
Yep. That's what I need to find out. If somebody knows that, well, they won't know till this comes out Thursday.
Just get on the Google, Dennis.
I know. I got to find out. I'm not going to. I don't mind buying it, but the thing is, I can't watch it the night of. Yeah. I can watch it 7 days after. But like I said, I'm going to be in Nashville. We're going to be out to eating and doing stuff. And I don't want to spend my, that's actually my anniversary night. I don't think Kelly wants to sit and watch a pay-per-view of Kiss.
Well, she's not very good at sacrificing for her husband then. So she's not going to watch this. I can say stuff like that. It doesn't matter.
All right. So,
well,
with that,
speaking of getting on the Google, you don't have to get on the Google to go to 80sofrock.com and find all of our social media and past episodes. Peace out.
Thanks for listening to the Ages of Rock podcast. If you haven't done so already, be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, like us on Facebook, and most importantly, tell all your friends. Remember, you're never too old to rock. Until the next episode, peace out, folks.